Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. All praise is due to Allah, and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah who sent down upon us His book most clear. وَكَانَ أَخْرُ مَا نَزَلَ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ and revealed in the last ayah الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ الدِّينَ. This day have I perfected for you your way of life. I have completed my favor upon you, and I have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ To Him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ In His hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ And He has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَيَا الْمُسْلِمُونَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ الحمد لله وجمع مبارك أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٍ حَسَنًا صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. And a portion of this, or this verse, 33:21, it says, You have indeed in the Messenger of Allah a beautiful pattern of conduct. Alhamdulillah, this hadith from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it says, Hazrat ibn Umar radiallahu an, that is the son of Umar, the Khalif radiallahu anhum, narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Moderation in expenditure is half of economy. Friendship with good people is half of wisdom. And intelligent questioning is half of knowledge. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We continue today on the subject of taqwa and the game of life, this being the eighth portion of that subject. And we are seeking to get to understanding this completeness of al-Islam as a way of life. And last week we used The Karate Kid, which is a very, well, an old movie for most of us. Some of our young people may not have even seen it unless they saw the Will Smith version that is with his son in it. But wax on, wax off is a meme. You know, a meme is something that's like a slogan or something that people, you know, grasp a concept just in its mentioning. So when we say wax on, wax off, you know, that's Karate Kid reference. And it brings up the whole narrative of the fact that the youngster was trying to get some help in one matter, but then he was told to act in another matter, and he got frustrated with what he was doing because he couldn't see the connection between what he was being told to do and what he came to Mr. Miyagi for. And at that point of frustration, when he was ready to throw his hands up and give up on it all, then Mr. Miyagi tells him, show me wax on, wax off. Show me paint the fence. And then the boy, Daniel, he recognized that, oh, I've been learning what I intended to learn all the time. I just didn't know that this was one of the ways of learning it. It's in that same spirit that I'm seeking to convey that when Allah says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam ad-din, Allah says, I have completed, I have perfected for you your way of life. Life is a trial. The whole thing, from the beginning to the end, from the womb to the tomb, it is a trial. And there's no time in our life where there's not some difficulty, some obstacle, something that we have to face. And we are being challenged by it, yes. At the same time, however, if we embrace it, fi sabilillah, embrace it with the awareness that Allah is over it all and Allah is never unjust to any of his creatures, then we are being purified by it. That's what Allah has graced us with. He said, this is my perfect favor to you. You know, I got to say, you know, I'm always be me, right? So it's like, don't get it twisted. When Allah said, this is my perfect favor, don't walk past that like, you know, something that's on the for sale box in the basement of some retail store. Man, that's the creator of the heavens and the earth said, let me do you a favor. Okay? So, I have a tendency to go editorial at that point, but we're going to be more disciplined. In those statements that we used last week, I used three. Faith and deeds. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And you hear it, read it throughout the Quran. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. It just repeats. Also, وَأَكْمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةُ وَأَكْمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةُ. Establish the prayer and establish the zakat and give the zakat. Establish the zakat. وَأَكْمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةُ. Repeat, 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 repeat. And then enjoying what is right, forbid what is wrong. Enjoying what is right. تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. As simple as those are, the reach is infinite. Relative to us, the reach is infinite. It doesn't stop. The benefits of just those three things lived out in accordance with what they actually are as a part of that complete choice for us as a way of life and the perfect favor of Allah, they have that infinite nature. They have that infinite nature. So we're in the habit of practicing those things, faith and deeds, prayer and zakat, enjoying what is right, forbid what is wrong. On the real, real, it's like, that's all you need. You do that and follow what it leads to and follow what it points to. Your life is good. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. With all the usri, yusr, which is also a part of it. But
To go on, so these are abstracts. I am wanting you to embrace that word, and for that reason, because the abstract is also in the context of revealed scripture, in the context of revelation, and the context of this conversation. I want to make sure you have it clear, because it doesn't mean that everywhere you read that somewhere out in the world or in a book, you say, oh, this is what it means. No, this is what it means for us. Abstract is universal. What do you mean? It's the truth without details. It's the truth without details. When Allah told us, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, read in the name of your guardian, evolver, who created. That was abstract. That's the truth without details. That is a wax on, wax off type statement. Why? Because if you do that with the understanding of what it means, when I say ikra, just I'll try to abbreviate this. When Allah tells us ikra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, he's not just telling us to read. He's saying read in the name of your guardian evolver who created. Now, you got to walk through each one of those words. This is why in Al-Islam, you are actually, if you are a believer, if you believe, if you want to obey, if you want to be in line with what Allah has ordered, you must study. It's not like, you know, this is not no Sunday go to meeting way of life here, or Friday go to meeting, whatever the case may be. It is practicing every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, what Allah has ordered. And that means study. You have to study. So ikra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, you would have to walk down each one of those words and see what it means in terms of behavior, and then do that. And then you'll get the benefit that Allah promised. Because in that same set of verses, he said, ikra wa rabbuka al-akram. Read, and your guardian evolver is most generous. So to experience the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do what he said. When you do what he said, then his promise comes true, which the book also says, and Allah, who keeps their promise better than Allah? So it's like, you got to decide, do I believe that? Let's go with the assumption. Everybody is believing that. Okay, so how do you execute? How do you execute? How do you make that a habit? Well, in the abstract statements of Allah, what he has revealed is the universal truth for all time and from all time, for all time and from all time, for all classes of matters of human existence in accordance with his knowledge of all things. I'll read again. Allah has revealed to us in these very short statements, he has revealed to us the universal truth for all time, from all time, for all classes of matters of human existence, and in accordance with his knowledge of all things, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he is the one who, he said, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ, and they encompass nothing of his knowledge except what he pleases. So whatever it is that we know, it's a grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from among what quote-unquote he knows. Now, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also a universal source of knowledge. Because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, is both the Quran and he's given us Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave us the revelation and he gave us the example. We say many times in our opening, Ya'lu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakihim wa yu'alimuhum al-kitab wal-hikmah. It says he is the one showing them how to follow the ayah. Ya'lu alayhim ayatihi, showing them how to follow the signs of Allah. He's the model for you follow the signs of Allah this way. Ya'lu alayhim ayati wa yuzakihim, and purifying them. Wa yu'alimuhum al-kitab wal-hikmah, and teaching them the book and how the book is to be lived out in everyday life. That's the hikmah. The hikmah is how do you live this every day? وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Then also, وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. And join them out of the darkness into the light. Do you understand that there are many, many dark areas in our lives? It don't mean evil per se. What it means, things that we don't know. Things that we don't know. You think there's some things that you might not know? يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. What the revelation of the Quran and the model of Prophet Muhammad does, it enables us to take a light into where it's dark and then draw our ignorance, if you will, out of that darkness into the light. That's what the Prophet models for us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I have been given the Quran and something like it. I have been given the Quran and something like it. The thing that he has been given, he mentioned, he says, Jawami al-Kalam. Jawami al-Kalam. What's Jawami al-Kalam? It comes from Jawa. Jama'a is the word. Jawam is plural. Jawami al-Kalam. I have been given a conciseness of speech where I can say in a few words what it would take before my time books and volumes to say. That's a big deal. It's a big deal. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he can give us a sentence, and in that sentence is an encyclopedia of knowledge. Wallahi, I'm about to show you. You're about to get tired. You're about to say, okay, I get it. Inshallah. Let's go back to this hadith as an example. Because I want you to understand that Allah gives us the truth, but he gives it to us concisely, right? And in giving it to us concisely, then it still has to be unpacked, right? So that's abstract. So the abstract is universal. In order to apply it to your life, in order to get the hikmah, you have to make it concrete and particular. You have to make, okay, how does that apply right here, right now, to me in this situation? You know, I'm not talking about this particular situation, so I could find something that could. I'm saying anytime you're out in the street, wherever, wherever, you're at home, it doesn't matter. To be able to know which knowledge from the Quran and from the Prophet that you need to draw upon for a given situation. At home, self, parents, you know, husband, wife, son, daughter, friend, what have you. There's a knowledge because al-yawma akmaltu. This is a complete way of life. So there's never a time or a place at which al-Islam does not apply, and there's not something from which you can draw from al-Islam to make the situation, I'm going to call it this, more Islamic. Okay? So let's look at this hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, in that light. Hazrat Omar, as we read in the beginning, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, moderation in expenditure is half of economy. Moderation in expenditure is half of economy. All right? So, short statement. Moderation in expenditure is half of economy. Okay. How do you know it's abstract? First, it doesn't give you any details. It's a statement from the Prophet without details. You know the Prophet doesn't lie, so it's the truth. It's the truth without details. So that lets you know it's abstract. But what does it mean then? What do I do with that? Now you have to open it up and you have to dig into it. What is moderation? Right? That's one of the first things that you have to know, right? But I'm not going there. I'm telling you the question. I'm going to read a hadith that reinforces some details of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in that very brief statement. So we're just focusing on the economic nature of what the Prophet said, peace be upon him. So another report from the Prophet, peace be upon him, that elaborates on the how-to of what he said here. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, while a person was in the wilderness, he heard a voice from the cloud, commanding it, the cloud, to irrigate the garden of so-and-so. After that, the clouds slinked away aside and poured water onto a stony ground. And it filled a channel amongst the channels of that land, and that person who had heard the voice, he followed the water. And he found a person standing in a garden, busily changing the course of the water with the help of a hatchet. He said to him, that is the one who was walking and heard the name in the clouds, he said to this person who was shoveling the water, he said, "Oh, servant of Allah, what's your name?" He said, "So-and-so." And it was the very name that he had heard from the clouds. And he said to him, "Servant of Allah, why do you ask me my name?" He said, "I heard a voice from the clouds, of which is the downpour." That is, the downpour is coming from this cloud that I heard being commanded, and the water is coming to you. And so the water, he said, the cloud, or out of the cloud, it said, water the garden of so-and-so, and it was your name. He said, now what he asked, the traveler is asking him now, what do you do for the favor shown to you by Allah in this matter? He said, now that you mention it, he said, I look at what I yield from the garden. I give one third as charity. And out of it, I give to my children and family one third. And of the remaining one third, I return it as an investment. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be moderate in expenditure. Just be modest in your expenditure, and that you're halfway there. This one is also saying from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can take that and say, oh, ain't nobody heard no name from the cloud. That's not even the point. The point is that the Prophet said it, the Prophet is giving you a parable, the Prophet is giving you a metaphor, the Prophet is giving you an allegory, the Prophet is giving you an abstract that is universal. Wallahi, somebody does that, they take one third of what they earn, first they got to be in business. That's what it is. That garden was his business. Right? So you see the message just come out, just you keep asking the question. The man was in business. He had something that he was working on. He had an investment, and I'm going to say it to you. Listen, if you want Allah to bless you, you got to give God something to bless. You ain't doing that, man. Allah going to bless me. Well, what you working on? If you don't have a garden that you're working on, that you're trying to shovel some water into and that you're putting some work in order for it to be productive, well, then you haven't even started playing that game yet. Okay. In any case, so is that one third, one third, one third? Find somebody in the world who does that, and I'll show you somebody who's wealthy for sure. Because of the fact that that particular strategy is a strategy that makes for wealth. And his expenditure, he expends on his family. And that goes also to the waqim as-salat wa to zakat. Even though zakat is an obligation, sadaqah is another thing. We have more to say about that. But in line with from a worldly perspective, Shaquille O'Neal, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, he's like, he advertised everything. You know, hot and cold, whatever that stuff is. Yeah, the heat stuff, the General's Insurance, Papa John's. I think he got some loan stuff going on there. And he actually owns rights to some of the icons like Marilyn Monroe and some other things. Like you see Marilyn Monroe, he's getting some money off wherever she's showing up at. He's got about 200 or 300 things like that. But he said it wasn't always like that. Yeah, when he got his first check, I believe, he spent $1 million in a day. He said, that's not moderation in the economy. That's not moderation. But he was in a bar one night, mashallah, this is the way he tell it. We're not going to mess with his claim to Al-Islam. Mashallah, let's just stay with his economic practices to support what the Prophet has said. And so he's at a bar one night. So the guy gave him knowledge that's the knowledge that served him and that's the knowledge that saved him. So the conversation came up. He said, you know the difference between poor people and rich people, right? Let me see if I got a piece of paper. It's not haram, okay, y'all? It's okay. So he said, you know the difference, the guy tell him, you know the difference between rich people and poor people? He said, this is a $100 bill. Rich people take half of it and they save half. They save half and live off the other half. Is that you want to know the difference between wealthy people and rich people and wealthy people? Wealthy people take half of that and save it and live off the 25%, right? So in terms of that, and we know, of course, it's save and invest. Save and invest. The point is that where the prophet said, moderation in expenditure is half of the economy. So that's just one idea. Be moderate in your expenditure. How many celebrities and athletes and so many people who had big bucks at a given time are broke as soon as the business, as soon as they get out of the game, whatever it is, whatever it might be, and sometimes before. Why? No moderation in expenditure. You know? Our local boy, MC Hammer, he's famous for, quote unquote, going broke from that perspective. But don't get it twisted, he's not totally broke, but he ain't rich as he was then, because he made some Google and Facebook and those other kind of engagements. But let's move past that. So the point is that here you have an example: don't spend all your money, don't waste your money, invest, give to your family, sadaqah, etc. These are ways of investing. But the prophet said, to begin with, be moderate in your expenditure. Don't be profligate in your expenditure, right? Shaitan is the waster. The one who wastes is the brother of the devil. MashaAllah. So if we follow that advice, it's abstract in the sense that it's universal, it's true, but without the details. But when we practice it in our daily life, it's going to lead to the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises. So that's one. It says, moderation in expenditure is half of the economy. The second thing, in the same hadith, the Prophet said, peace be upon him, friendship with good people is half of wisdom. Friendship with good people is half of wisdom. So let me tell you, if you don't already, and you need to pull out some of them books that you may have on your shelf or what have you, blow them off and read, hadith of the Prophet. You can find little small translations. MashaAllah, we'll get to the actual readings when we get there. But anyway, in the meantime, pull out those little books and read those very short. And in fact, you can get one issue. What hadith for children? It's okay. It's okay. Get the hadith for children, and you read hadith, right? And those simple, short hadith, when you hear them and when you think about living in accordance with them, everything is going to improve. I'm telling you. خَيْرَكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best among you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it, right? That's pretty concrete. قُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. Say what is good or keep silent. How about that one? And let me tell you, my brothers, you might not get this, so I don't want you to miss it. What was that hadith really focused on when it comes out? It's about how you respond to the food that's served to you. If you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say it. All right? Say what's good or keep silent, right? So, and there are many, many, من تشبه بكوم فهو منه. Whoever imitates a people is one of them. These are very short hadith, which if you take them and apply them and remember them, have taqwa for them, meaning I got to be conscious of this. Am I acting like good people, or am I acting like bad people? Right? These are all important to know. The friendship. Friendship with good people is half of wisdom. Now, in terms of getting social cooperation going, the social scientists have a lot to tell us about this. Remember the master game, the master objective, the master mission. We all should know this by now. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. I'm looking for a metaphor for you to grab it and hold it. The Kaaba, of course, that's our destiny. But let me give you something that's in more of our general experience. I'm talking about in the world. It's like building a pyramid. You know, just imagine building a pyramid, right? So if our goal is to build a pyramid, so you're just thinking about a structure that has a very specific design that you are obligated to produce. I want you to understand that that's what is meant when you say ummah. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ. You have to build ummah, right? And Allah says, Bunyan Marsus, the description of the believers, he loves to see the believers ranged in ranks like a solid brick wall, like a solid cemented structure. That solid cemented structure is the kind of social cohesion, social cooperation that we're supposed to have. We're not going to build a pyramid or ummah, a house or a sandbox without cooperation. And when we talk about وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ, we're talking about the highest level of social development. I'm not talking about you as an individual. I'm saying civilizationally. You know, people look at the Egyptian civilization, the Roman civilization, the Greek civilization, the Chinese civilization. Well, listen. Al-Islam, when Al-Islam calls us, wherever we are, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ, Allah is telling us, build high civilization. Come on. Build high civilization. And you can't build an outhouse in the backyard. You're supposed to be building high. It's no small thing. It's not even saying, get bigger than Bill Gates. Outdo Warren Buffett. Make a Muslim the president of the United States. All small. Wallahi. All small. What the American experiment is trying to do is what Al-Islam is the destiny of Al-Islam for all Muslims. It's bigger than America. The success of America itself, to the extent that it is successful, it's because it's rooted in qualities, precepts, and principles that are true to Al-Islam. It's not because they're doing it. It's because the abstract that they're operating from, which they can't, and they have demonstrated that we're not yet capable as a quote-unquote civilization, as a republic, we're not capable of really living out Assassination, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Elhaj Malik Shabazz, blah, blah, blah. Robert Kennedy, John Kennedy. You go to all those assassinations. It has something to do with, we're not going to live out this thing, all men are created equal and endowed by their creator certain unalienable rights. There's a class of people at the highest levels who are fighting against the realization of that ideal. Serious. And they call themselves good Americans. So, dialing back to our statement that Allah reveals to us the universal truth. Successes that we see in other areas, many of them have come from just a part of what Al-Islam gives us in our total system. Just like we hold it true to be self-evident, all men are created equal. That's just one precept in Al-Islam. That's just one idea in Al-Islam, that all human beings are equal. And all human beings have equal rights. That's just one idea. But look at how much has been able to be done, and look at how many people in the world, non-Muslims, who aspire to that, they fight and die, have revolutions, seeking to try to establish that one ideal. Look up the charter. I want you to understand this. Look up the Charter of International Human Rights, the International Charter of Human Rights. See who has signed on to it, saying, yeah, okay, I agree that human beings should have the right to this, that, and that. And see who haven't signed on to it. You see, that's a big deal. Because their whole worlds, their governments that are not dedicated to the principle that human beings are equal. Some people we can torture, execute, abuse, disappear, or what have you, and that's what we do. But I want to get to this point that the touch on some of what the social scientists say about it. Because, brother and sister, what is being said, for example, cooperation is easiest to evolve when it's possible to confer a big benefit to someone else at a small cost to oneself. They're just talking anthropologically. Meaning that go back to a time where there was no civilization. All right? How did we get to civilization? You're not going to get to civilization without social cooperation. You can't build a building if people ain't cooperating on the work site. If you don't cooperate, it's never going to get built. So social cooperation is what builds things up. Question, what starts social cooperation? What makes people cooperate with each other? Come on, Nation of Islam. We're in the Nation of Islam. Why we cooperate with each other? Say whatever you want to say. It's because we're going to get the white man. No, it wasn't even us that was going to get the white man, because we don't even care so much as a penknife. Some of y'all know what I'm saying. We don't care so much as a penknife, right? But the mothership, he got it. When the mothership come, they're going to drop them pamphlets, and it's all going to be in Arabic. You better know how to read it, right? And then you're going to have, and if you're weighing over 150 pounds, you ain't going to be able to get on the, plane. Then you're going to get on the plane, and it's going to go, and they're going to send 1,500 bombing planes, and they're going to drop the bombs on America. And then that's enough of that story. So, but you trust this, people are still, they are living on that. Okay? But the point is, it wasn't on the basis of Tawheed. It wasn't on the basis of what we knew about Allah, the Lord, cherish and sustain all the worlds. You see what I'm saying? So the motivation for our cooperation there, even though it gave a good illustration, demonstration of what can happen if people cooperate with each other. We showed that. And we showed that, yeah, we can do it. See? But when Imam, mashallah, I know somebody ain't going to like this, but he said, when the Imam say, at the count of three, I'm snap my fingers, you're going to wake up. And he woke up, and then folks stopped cooperating, you know, stopped doing what we should have been doing as a unit. You can still do the same thing, but with a different motivation. Okay? So this is what Al-Islam provides us. And it's this long conversation I'm not even going to start into as far as he messed it up. No. Let me give you the short version as I conclude. The Nation of Islam was $9 million in debt when Imam Muhammad rahimahullah became the leader by proclamation. There wasn't no gangster move. He said, yeah, okay, I got this. No. Elijah Muhammad already set it up. And when the court case came down under the Hoover Plan, without going into details on that, to break the assets that were now present in the Nation of Islam, the accounting was that it was worth $21 million. No, so that's in the 80s. So what does that mean? There was a $30 million movement from the time he became the leader to the time the Hoover plan came in to undermine the wealth that was there and present in the Nation of Islam. So did he break the Nation of Islam? No, he built the wealth even more so. And also there's the decentralization put people in business right now. It's so hard to shut up. It's put people in business right now. Imam Suleiman, I saw his Facebook piece. He was down in Mexico. Down in Mexico, and there's a Lonnie Shamsuddin in Atlanta, who started Supreme Fish, a Supreme business during the Nation of Islam. Imam Muhammad spun that off to him after the Nation of Islam's change, and then his son continued that work, and now he got an international presence with something that started, like some of y'all know more about steak and takes and those kinds of things. So that's what Imam Muhammad did, rahimahullah alayh. He decentralized and he spun out, hey, this property right here, Imam Muhammad bought this property, right? And by virtue of that asset that he had left with us here, we're in a position that we had never been in before, wallahi, I can tell you. So the point is that Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, he has, by giving us and bringing us to al-Islam in the proper way, that social cohesion, that social cooperation that is necessary, Imam Muhammad is bringing us back to that. Rahimahullah alayh. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم في العالمين انك حميد مجيد والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم I have to admit I went off on a little bit of a tangent on that, but mashallah, I'm following good spirit. But on the point of social cooperation, okay, so the rule is this: I'll cooperate with you and you'll cooperate with me if there is a benefit in our cooperation that don't cost me too much. I mean, that's human nature. See, I'm saying before all the other stuff that we know, well, before contracts and writing and this and that, you're a part of a hunter-gatherer tribe. You know what I'm saying? So it's like everything is nature. Everything is nature. Why should I cooperate with you? I'm going to cooperate with you because there's a mutual benefit in our cooperation. And that benefit has to be such that it doesn't cost me much, but there's a benefit from it, and you're going to be in the same position. It doesn't cost me much, and I know it's going to be a benefit to you. So right hand watch the left. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. That's the spirit of nature in us, okay? Now, so as soon as there's a situation where benefits can be conferred upon someone at a small cost, then that sets up an economy of what they call favor trading. This is to get it started. You listen to what I'm saying? To get it started. Why don't some people cooperate with other people? Because they don't see any benefit in it. Why would you cooperate with anybody and you don't see any benefit in cooperating with them? That's on first order material level. But now, when you're Muslim, listen to me. Now you're Muslim, you're not thinking like somebody on the street. You're not thinking like the common person thinks. It's natural for them to think, well, shoot, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You give me something, I got something else. So now we're just dealing with each other. But that's not God's way. I'm not supposed to just help you because I want to get something from you, or you want to get something from me, or I want to give something to you, or you want to give something to me. No. Do it fi sabilillah. Do it for the sake of Allah. Act in the reality of God. Act like God is real. So I can do something for you if I'm doing it fi sabilillah. It's like, you can thank me or you can not thank me. You can give or you can not give. MashaAllah. My reward is where? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. Here's a phrase, totally marginal to what I'm saying, but it's connected. Think about this statement. Make the future real by believing in it. You got to spend some time with that one. No, I'm serious. Just add it, just match it up with this, because I want you to understand with Allah. See, we say we believe in Allah, but ask yourself, do you really, in the context of reality, really, you know what I'm saying, hurriedly, if somebody does something hurriedly, they're hurrying, and the L-Y is just to say how they're doing it. So I'm saying, do we believe in Allah really? What does that mean? That Allah is real. Okay? If Allah is real, then whatever He has told you and whatever the Prophet has told you about what He, Allah, will do if you do this, Allah will do that. Do you believe in Allah really? It's real. I do it. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. And then Allah's promise is true. Now you're shoveling water in your garden. You get me what I'm saying? So here's a hadith from the Prophet, peace be upon him. So it's like social cooperation. Don't cooperate with somebody on the basis of tit for tat. You give me, I give you. That's not developed. That's not evolved. That's not al-insan. That's not civilizational wisdom. Civilizational wisdom as a Muslim means believe in what the Prophet said, believe in what Allah has said, and do it. Here's one as an example on this, trying to get this social cohesion, social cooperation with, to start the civilizational building. You want Allah's help? See, it takes it off of this personal plane. I want Allah's help. I'm saying, I'm not just for me, I'm saying you. We want Allah's help, okay? So here's the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It tells us how to get it. One who helps a fellow Muslim in removing his or her difficulty in this world, Allah will remove that one's distress on the Day of Judgment. He who helps to remove the hardship of another will have his difficulties removed by Allah in this world and in the hereafter. One who covers the shortcomings of another Muslim will have his faults covered up in this world and the next by Allah. Allah continues to help a servant so long as he goes on helping his brother. See, now ask yourself, do I believe that? Do I believe that? And then ask yourself, do I need God's help? I got it. I'm good. No. Do I need God's help? Do I need God? Then go help somebody else in the name of Allah. Help somebody else in the name of Allah. They might not even, more likely, if they need your help, they're not going to be able to remunerate you in some particular way that will make your situation necessarily better. That just opens the door for Allah to bless you. Your name is now in the clouds. You ought to give God something to bless. So the sadaqah behavior of the Muslim is why, well, man, I'm living with God. I'm living with God. So you can get jealous as much as you want to and play it off as much as you want to, but them Christians that say, I got a personal relationship with God, ones I'm thinking about, they ain't playing. And when you really understand that they are following the better, the best among them. They're following ideals that you can find in Al-Islam. In fact, I'm just more and more collecting them nowadays. I'm reading Romans and this and that and that. I said, that's what the Hadith said, and that's what the Quran said, and that's what this said. But Allah gives it to us, excuse the vernacular, Allah gives it to us pure, uncut. It ain't been stepped on. Some of y'all don't know what we're talking about. Ask the little boy in the hood, what it mean? You know, no. So, brother and sister, let's just understand. These are just examples, and I'll conclude with this. So the point is, social cohesion and social cooperation is necessary to build civilization. The fundamentals for social cooperation is the adab al-Islam. It is what Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be this, be that. Talks about the things that a Muslim owes to another Muslim. Talks about none of you is a believer until he loves for his brother and sister the way he loves for himself. It talks to us about none of you is a believer until his hawa follows what I have brought. This is, all these things are things that the Prophet says. So when you become familiar with them, and then now as you go about your day, your idea is to, okay, here's an opportunity for me to practice this hadith. Here's an opportunity for me to practice that hadith. This sunnah, that sunnah. That's what you take the opportunity and you play the game of al-Islam. Here, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eat together. Do not eat separately, for the blessing is in the company. You don't have the time or the patience right now for me to go to all the details. But the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's given us a very, very full teaching in that. So I'll limit myself to this, where it says, when the Prophet said, friendship with good people is half of wisdom. Okay? So you have friendship with good people. Good people are people who do what? They practice al-Islam. That is, you expect when you get with that person, they're going to be practicing al-Islam. You don't have to worry about other stuff coming into the game. It's like, no, we're Muslims. So this is what we do. So that's my friendship. That's half of wisdom, right? And that's without speaking about what happens when you engage each other eating together, for example. Because what happens at the table, how many business deals you think get cut at a dinner table? How many connections and relationships? How much human capital gets built up by people who eat together? You see it all the time in the movies, right? Yeah, meet me for dinner at Spago's, whatever. That's just a name come to mind. It's like, whatever. Why? Because we're going to interact. We're going to decide how we can cooperate on the golf course. How many deals are cut there? Why? Because they have a social relations. So what about when Muslims have social relations with each other and practice this amongst themselves? That's how we're going to grow. But all it is doing what the religion says do. You ain't got no special course. Do what the religion tells you to do, and you'll see your civilization being built up. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت اسمك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك له الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your aid. We thank you for your purification of us. Oh Allah, purify us in our hearts and our intention and our worship and our thinking. Oh Allah, give us light into this perfect favor that you have granted us, this complete favor that you have granted us, this complete way of life that you have granted us. Oh Allah, bless us not to take for granted those things that have reached us in what seems to be such an easy way. Bless us not to undervalue and to be ungrateful for a grace that you have granted us, which is indeed a reward in so many ways for things that we have not had to suffer. We have not had to suffer what those suffered before us, but who never gave up on you and who sent on to us a life and a spirit of love and faith and believing God no matter what happened. They never gave up, and we are continuing that spirit and that attitude, and help us to be those people who are moderate in our expenditures, who keep good fellowship with good people. O Allah, bless us to be among those who know how to question those things that will enlighten us in a way that would guide us, in a way that would help us, in a way that will enable us, in a way that will empower us to continue the great work of building Ummah in this world. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen.
Alhamdulillah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa shahadu an la ilaha illallah, wa shahadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us this morning for University of Image and Leadership. Alhamdulillah, we just broadcast yesterday's recording of the Jumu'ah, which was part 8 of Taqwa and the Game of Life. And before we continue today, we want you to join us. Punch in, comments, questions, etc. We invite you not to reteach the subject. Make a contribution to it, an insight that you have to share, something you want to put on the table for the benefit of all, in respect to the fact that there may be others who have comments as well. So push one on your phone. Here's the opportunity. And those of you who are on Facebook and YouTube, what you can do is type it in. Sometimes they come through. I don't know which platform you have to be on in order for it to come through. I get some from Facebook, some from YouTube. So I'm using StreamYard overall, so if somebody knows something about that that I need to understand, make sure you let me know. All right. That being said, keep my brother Mark. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shoaib, and to your very astute radio listening audience. Mark Shaheed from the STL, the gateway city of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. Want to say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, first and foremost, always. Excellent part, excellent khutbah once again. So many things that you said. But I love the when you're talking about the hadith, the Sahih hadith for children. What came to my mind in regards to that, you know, those would be like very basic and fundamental, and equate that to the Quran, where Allah gives the composition of the Quran in terms of the verses that would reveal in Surah Ali Imran, in terms of the basic and fundamentals being the foundation, and then those are very explicit, but the implicit, you know, not clear, but you have to start there. And I'm thinking that in order to become practitioners of the Hadith, the Sunnah of the Prophet, that's a good place to start. I want to say that first and foremost. The other thing, very, very profound Sahih Hadith that you gave of the Prophet, in terms of moderation in expenditure being half of economy. You know, the Prophet gave many hadiths, and of course one is most well known, that marriage is, the sacred institution of marriage is one half of the deen, and then he said, let them in the other half be conscious, regardful of God, which is taqwa. So my question is, I want to make sure that I'm clear, is that the other half of that, not being a spendthrift, as Allah talks about that in the Quran, as being something that's influenced by the shaitan, with the other half in terms of being not only in terms of saving, but investment, like you want to get a good return back on your investment, you know. That's the question
You're correct. And that hadith, that the hadith that I kind of reinforced that hadith with the one with the name in the clouds, right? Now, what he did, you know, he respected his obligation to Allah, and then he respected his obligation to his family, and then he respected the obligation to his investment. Right?
Yes. Like, yes, alhamdulillah. That's excellent.
What kind of character do you have to be, and will you be, if that's how you live in? You know what I'm saying? If you live in like that, look, I said, see, it's like, I said something about Christians. I'm going to say this again right now, right? So whatever you want to say about, you know, Christians, you know, dyed in the wool, Baptists, and do-do-da-da-da. Listen, I know Christians, that Christians, quote unquote, if not a quote unquote, actually, in my family, they tithe heavy. And that tithing for them is 10%. Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he only obligates us to 2.5% of what is beyond the whatever, the nisab, but we won't get all into that. That's all God said. That's what you're obligated to. But, you know, sadaqah is a very big deal. So what I'm saying is that, I'm talking about they giving thousands a month to the church.
Oh, yeah.
You want to criticize the pastor, whatever, say whatever you will. But they are also living good. I see them living good. Yeah, they have big bills for cars and big bills for houses and what, but they're paying them too. And they're tithing too, right? You know, so it's like, where y'all need to leave them Christians alone, man. The ones that's practicing what they're practicing, right? So what if a Muslim lived just in accordance with just that hadith, one-third, man, we'd be wealthy overnight.
Yes, and we have to believe that. And, you know, I love the other thing, two more things real quickly. I love the other thing that you said, you know, do we really, truly believe in Allah, you know, do you know, that's very important. I often have asked the question, said, if you ask the question, do you believe in Allah, everybody's hand would go up. But then I would ask the question, do you believe Allah? Now this comes, takes us to what is being revealed to us, revelation, you know, and then putting it into application. So it's like, until that belief actually becomes a conviction, it's like the champ Ali used to say, that's when things really begin to happen, the maturation of the belief becoming a conviction. And then lastly, in terms of keeping good company and friends and, and wisdom and all, there's a word, Tyler just used the word wisdom. When I, capital I, see discernment operating magnificently, you know, that is that wisdom actually would be when you see the discernment operating magnificently. So I'll stop with that, Brother Imam. This is always excellent. The Cook Buzz, they're so thought-provoking and so substantive that it keeps you just thinking and thinking. We need to ponder over the revelation and the Sahih Hadith that the Prophet is given. And we can start with those that are designed for children. Thank you. May Allah continue to bless you and us. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran jazeem. Alhamdulillah. Imam Nazim, as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Brother Imam, and the listening audience. Really want to follow in the footsteps of Brother Mark there a little bit in expounding. And, you know, like you said before, this is not confessional, but I think we have been laboring. We're trying to really start to apply what Imam Muhammad has given us. And I think we just don't know the value of it. It just feels so good to be able to have known a man, to live in the lifetime of a man who did so much to give us courage to do more with our lives than we had previously done. And we tend to be talkers more than doers, you know. And I appreciate that you really inspired the doing and really to wrap our heads, try to wrap our heads around what we got in terms of knowledge, wisdom, however you want to go with that. And I want to offer my little thing that I put together that's similar to what I did maybe a week ago, last week or whatever. But it's hopefully it will be impactful, and it's definitely a compact, and it will be more there after you unpack it. And that is these two words came in my mind, and then the other followed. The two words I'm going to mention now came, I think, yesterday or the day before yesterday. And it goes like this. Travel, and you will be less tribal on the way to God's guidance, freeing us to becoming global on the road to social cooperation.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Very good. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, that's very, very, what can I say? But alhamdulillah. that is it, right? I mean, it's visual, what you're saying also. It's visual. And that is it. The road to the global social cooperation, right? But you can't get to the global until you stop being tribal, right? That's what I hear.
Exactly.
That's what I hear you say.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And the beautiful thing about it, I mean, I'm learning while I'm teaching, and that's what ta'alim is, right? I'm learning while I'm teaching. I mean, it's like what I share, mashallah, Allahu A'lam, this is no boast. It's just a representation of the fact. You know, it's like what I do, I share what I find while I'm studying. Right? Okay, I'm studying something. Oh, look at that. Oh, well, that would be nice to tell at Juma. Oh, that would be nice to tell on Saturday. Oh, that would be nice to tell on Sunday or Monday or Wednesday. It's like, so all I'm doing is sharing what I'm studying and what benefits me and what enlightens me and what enlivens me, right? And the point that I'm making here is that, you know, we said there's a difference between being tribal and being tribalistic and tribalism,
yes,
right? There's a piece by Ismail Farouki. The title of it I can't remember right now, but he does a teaching on Asabiya. Asabiya, that's talking about tribalism. But there's also another thing. There's another way of translating it, which I believe he mentions it as well. But the idea of patriotism, because to talk about patriotism, it's like it's not. There are people who take good things and give those good things a bad name, right? So patriotism is a good thing, but there are people who call themselves patriots that give patriotism a bad name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being that Allah said he created you tribes and nations. So God is telling us tribes are natural, but tribalism is not natural, right? And the role and the function and the value of being a tribe in its first manifestation as a tribe is good. That's the way God created us to be able to socially cooperate just on a genetic, natural basis without rationality. It's just like, hey, that's my mama. That's my daddy. That's my cousin. That's what, you know, I'm just talking about at that level, right? But now if you're going to get out of that and go from trouble, you're going to go from tribal to global, okay, well, then you have to mute tribalistic aspect that you got to transcend that a bit. Hold on to it, right? Just like you know, you get married, you don't ditch your mama just because I'm married now, so I can't be bothered with you. No, you have to still respect your mama inside of your new relationship and take the benefit and the value of that. So same way with tribe, right? Li ta arrahu, the rest of that verse, or rather inside that verse. It says so. No, you're absolutely right. But making that road, making that that growth of traveling that road in maturation, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But also, you don't hold on to those things that have to be taken off if you're going to grow. Okay.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, absolutely. I was just thinking with that somewhat of a Freudian slip, whatever, but. You created another word. Once you move from tribal to global, you will be global, whatever you said there.
Yeah, you're global, man.
Yes.
Hey, man,
exactly.
We get on it.
Absolutely,
hey,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, man, I'm not tribal. I'm not global. I'm trobal. Allahu Akbar.
Right,
you know what
right,
saying?
Right.
And for some people, being trobal is trouble.
Exactly, yes, I'm doing that.
So that's good stuff. Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Dante, I see you. That's a very normal thing that happens. If you have a chance, look into that book, that Douglas Hofstadter book, when I talked about the metaphors and analogies and the like. He points out they have a collection of those, and that happens all the time. Because what's going on in our minds, right? We hear the words coming out of the mouth, but the words that we've decided to actually say and verbalize, they are the winners of a competition that was happening in our head to be the word to be expressed in a particular sentence. But sometimes before the decision is made, they both wind up coming out of the mouth at the same time, but in combination, right? And the dialogue in your head to clarify the sentence, it hadn't been finalized. And see, that's what happens when you start rushing, right? You start rushing and you wind up, you know, two words come out blended together because either one of them could have fit a situation if you were going to address that particular situation. But when it comes out, it's like you get both of them together. And mashallah, just like you point out, it's like, hey, well, that's a good thing. We can work with that, right? Because that's what we're trying to get to being trouble. Alhamdulillah. Yeah.
Can you give me his name again, Brother Imam? What's his name?
Hofstadter.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Alhamdulillah.
Hold on. Dante, I'm coming, man. So let me get this. I'm going to give you the title of the book is Surfaces and Essences. Essences. Okay, and it's spelled H-O-F-S-T-A-D-T-E-R. Hofstadter. Hofstadter. Mashallah. It's very, very interesting piece. If you got the time,
I mean, it looks like it. Absolutely.
It's on audio books.
Yes. Shukran, shukran.
All right. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. How are you, brother Imam?
I'm doing great. You a Sixers fan?
I'm a Sixers fan. But yeah, I say I'm a fan of talent. I'm only a Sixers fan because I'm from Philly. I'm just a fan of individual talent, but and collective team effort.
Yeah,
but I just want to say
your props to stay on top of the East right now. So I just want to recognize that. So
we gotta get Ben Simmons in the game though.
Inshallah.
But I just want to say that, like, you are such a mentor, a role model. You're so masterful in the way that you articulate. And I get excited. I have to calm myself down sometimes when I call because of the way that you have been blessed to, you know, give us what you give us. And, you know, I went from AME to being a 5%er to Allah bringing me to Islam and then, you know, having I've been on that road. And you know, I'm just so glad I am where I am. You have helped me. Like I said, you have helped me become a better investor, a better Muslim. Like, and I so thank you for all of that. I want to also bring this to the table if I can. You know, talking about C, you know, there are three C's, mm-hmm. and you have the little C, and some of us, we see little. Then you have C-S-E-E, and when you have that sight, you are able to use your ears and your eyes to see. You have a little bit more sight. And then you have the C-S-E-A, and when you have that kind of sight, you see vastness and possibilities. And that takes you to having sight. That takes you to sight, and sight is something that is more focused. And once you get more focused, you know, Allah will return you back to yourself, and then you will have insight, and then you can see the insight and the wisdom of yourself and see yourself in the world and the universe. And I just wanted to drop that on you. Allah gave me that this morning while I was sleeping.
You got a mic, just drop it. that's good stuff, man. Allahu Akbar. I can use that?
Absolutely.
good.
Because I use so much of what you give me.
Alhamdulillah. So since you took it there, as I continue, I had some other things, but since you took it there, and you did it in a good way, I think I'm gonna add something to touch that a little bit as I continue as a kind of I'm gonna call it extra Imam Muhammad might call it goodie, right? Just an extra goodie, and because it does tie very much in everything that you just said about sight. See, that's a big part of the taqwa aspect of what we're talking about. Got them brothers calling again. So I'm gonna get to that. Take advantage of that for the visionary side of it. Thank you.
Alright. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Alright. So that's very, very rich material. Alhamdulillah, I appreciate it very much. So I'm moving on now. So I'm not reading anything from the comments, and I'm not checking in on the board for as far as phone calls are concerned, calling. I'm going to tell you, because he set it up, Dante, because it makes it easy for me. I believe Allahu A'lam makes it easy to go ahead and deal with that. I am going to have to. create something right quick if I All right, here we go. So those of you who have who've been with me on the Wednesday broadcast, you already have some idea about this. So we're going to take advantage of the overlap in the comments, and because I know it's been a while, we're talking about taqwa and the game of life, but I haven't had quite the time. Haven't taken the time, because I think in the order of things, it'll be more appreciated when we get to that point. That we'll be back. So this is foreshadowing you. We're way ahead of the game. We haven't got to this part in our Wednesday broadcast, but I want to take advantage of the symbols here. So let me do this. All right. So let's go with this here. just so you can get the symbol in your mind. I know it's there, but I want you to literally be able to see it. And how are we doing this? All right. So that's pretty big. But that's that pyramid symbol. That's the pyramid symbol on the dollar bill, right? In fact, what I'm gonna do, Carol, just watch me work through this. And I'm going to kind of talk to it. But this is a big deal. Now, remember what Dante just talked about. He just talked about seeing, right? Talking about seeing and vision. And for as far as taqwa is concerned, that is the essence of taqwa. Now, when we see if I got my images here, I think I may have to just create them. Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead. Since you already have these, you have these ideas right here, right? So that's a pyramid, right? And so I don't want any fear in that. So we want to make this, so that's that, right? Now, let's copy this. And now I want to okay, so you see what that is, right? That's the Star of David, as it's called, Star of David. It's also called the Seal of Solomon, all right? Pardon me, Solomon's Seal. I'm trying to get it down. Maybe I didn't turn it as completely as it needs to be turned. Or my triangle wasn't perfect. That'll do. All right. So you had Star David, right? So the question is, what does the Star of David have to do with that? Well, one of the things we can do is let me go and pull something else. Thank you for your patience. Keep looking at that, because that's also saying something that we want to say. All I'm still here. let's see, there it is. Okay. All right. So you got the dollar bill. You know that, right? So actually, there's a larger. It probably would have been better to do a larger image. But if you look at, oh, maybe I can do this. Let's go with this picture. I'm gonna go ahead and crop this right here because I only need one part of it now, and that's part right here. And actually, I only need the eagle. So let's go ahead and do that. You see what I'm trying to show you? What's over that eagle's head? When you see what's over that eagle's head, then you understand why America is to Israel, occupied Palestine, what it is to occupy Palestine. Because I could spend time with the Bible and show you that. And Imam Muhammad is our teacher. It's not like, oh, I just come. No, there's no way I would not have no idea about this were it not for what Imam Muhammad did. You know, and I'm thinking now, I mentioned Imam Suleiman during the khutbah, and I said, Rahim Allah Ulay. I was just on a roll on those Rahim Allah Ulays. No, Suleiman, he's still with us, mashallah, as far as I know. But again, also, that's not the only time you actually say Rahim Allah Ulay. I want the mercy on the young man anyway. So, but let's do this here. Trying to get this line strand. Okay. Point is, I'm trying to get this arrow to point from there to there. What happened to my thicknesses on my lines? Okay, there it is. All right, so there you go. So the idea is to understand that this Star of David is this. One of these pyramids is this, right? But this is the pyramid turned over. Now, the imam gave us the teaching. I'm talking about in the 70s. He gave us the teaching in the 70s to show how the wicked among them use this knowledge against us. But also understand, the teaching is that Allah reveals the truth to and for the benefit of the world, right? He reveals the truth to and for the benefit of the world, but everybody gets it. Yes, everybody gets the knowledge, the righteous and the wicked. They get the knowledge. Now, the righteous, they do with it what Allah intends that they would do with it. Now, the wicked do something else, the same knowledge of nature. When we talk about black magic, white magic, etc., short version of it, is black magic is using the knowledge of the human nature over the heads of the people, not for the benefit of the persons themselves, but for their benefit, the benefit of the magician that is using it to dominate them, to keep them in the dark, the black magic, right? The black nature, black ignorance, black the use, the dark use that they're putting it to, the white magic. I'm just using their language right now. The white magic has to do with those who have the enlightenment, but they use the enlightenment to bring people out of the darkness into the light, and they don't use that knowledge to manipulate to manipulate them through the knowledge of the nature that they're using over the heads of the people, right? Okay, so the point is that there's biblical references that talk about this very thing right here. So what's going on in America and the relationship that America has with occupied Palestine is a relationship that has been cultivated for thousands of years. We can say thousands because we're talking 2,000. And it has to do with
Gentile, and all the rest of that. But let's go ahead. The idea is motivated by what Dante was saying. Okay, so then you have Star David. Okay, let's talk about the goodness. Let's talk about the goodness of this, right? So let's see. Y'all see me doing this, so let's see what we want to do here. Try to create this picture while we're okay. So same thing with the picture. Now we're gonna crop that, and we're gonna take it up to there. Put it again. We can. Trying to get more of that eye in there, maybe. Okay, so you know what it is, right? So I'm going to put it here. So that's that, right? Then you take that. Now we're going to rotate that. And that's how that works. So now it's the same thing there. So all this is, it has to do with the Egyptian wisdom, right? So what did I just open up? Hang with me now. All right. Now, I'm saying to you in the simplest way right now, okay, I'm already on that page. So now we're going to go back to this. Okay, so you have that, right? I won't be able to put all these on one page, but maybe I can toggle. Come on. All this is coming on the Wednesday broadcast some point in time. Inshallah, we'll get a chance to get to that. Okay, so you have to look at the smaller picture on the, I don't know if I can make it bigger this way. No, that's what gets bigger. But look at the pictures on the left here. Okay, so now, had I left the other image, no, you have that image. This right here, let me do another arrow here. I can't get across. The point is that the same thing that's happening with this eagle right here is the same thing that's happening with these talons. This cross over here, it means the same thing that what the talons are on one side, there's peace. On the other side, there's war. Let's put it like that. This crook and flail represents, again, if I can't get you in the body, I'll get you in the mind. Let's put it like that. The point is that this kind of power, this kind of knowledge is what's operating in America. That's what's operating in America. And it starts with understanding what's going on with the representation that the pyramid is. Now, the only thing I want to point to before I go away from the picture per se is where you have Isis here, notice that she has two right hands. Just look right there. You can see that thing that this, where there's supposed to be a baby finger. No, that's a thumb, right? So that means, and that's a right hand. So you got a right hand. So she got two right hands. And the two right hands, she is holding the key of life in there, and that key of life is a man, that is man, human being. So you see the opening there. The opening there is actually the person's head. She's not using the key right there. She's just representing the key right there. But in order to use the key, she's going to have to put her hand in what is the head of the person. And once you get inside their head, now that's the key of life. You're controlling their life. Once you get into their head in their psychology, then you're owning them, right? That's the knowledge that's operating in this country and has been operating in the world for thousands of years. I'm talking pre-Jesus. thousands of years, okay? And the Imam has explained this, and believe it or not, the Imam explained these kind of things in the 70s and 80s, more so in the 70s. And, you know, mashallah, that was when he was working to break us out of another mythological prison. All right, so what we have here is, okay, so you see that. So you see where the knowledge is coming from, all right? All right, I'm going to try, you know, by the grace of Allah, inshallah, with the help of Allah, to, let's see. All right, let's work with this. So you see this, right? So the pyramid comes from a base and its height and its pinnacle is vision. That's the main thing. Why do you think they call the great place of spiritual insight for the Catholic Church? They call it the Holy See. The Holy See. I'm not going to go any further. But there you got you got that right there, the Holy See, and you can deal with all those seas that Brother Dante had brought up. You know, you can put them in there, all right. And then the Holy See, right? And then I'll move on with it. So in terms of that, to rise as a pinnacle, it's to get and to have vision, right? To have vision. That's the goal. And that's actually the goal for the human being. So when you start at the base, the imam explained to us Jah and what he means by the Jacobite. It has to do with Jah. Jah is talking about the foundation, pardon me, talking about the foundation in the human being, motivations, drives, sentiments, and aspirations. All this is what's down here, motivations, drives, sentiments, and aspirations. But then you have this this three- and four-sided figure, believe it or not, I'm not trying to explain the whole thing. The idea is that when they come together and when they cooperate together and when you get the power of that cooperation for and from and in your own nature, you come to a level of vision. You have super vision when you control that. But now what they do with the masses is take that knowledge that they have of the human nature and use it against the human nature. They reverse it. And that's what you see. That's one of the ways of reading the Star of David. They reverse that. And then they take what they know about the human nature and they go into the motivations, drives, sentiments, and aspirations of the people that they want to dominate who don't have knowledge of their own motivations, drives, sentiments, and aspirations. And then they manipulate them through them. And so they're having knowledge over their head. They're having supervision, but they're taking that knowledge and using that knowledge against the people. This is also, this symbol right here is also called the seal of Solomon, right? And that seal of what it was, the seal of Solomon, what are we talking about? The seal of Solomon, it is known that Solomon, this known before Quranic revelation and like, biblically speaking, even though the terminology jinn wasn't necessarily done, but the genie in the bottle and all the rest of that, that's all that's jinn. And the wisdom of Solomon and the power that he has, we know now Allah has revealed to us that he had the power over the shayateen, the power over the jinn, and he built, using them as builders and divers, etc., because he had that power. So Solomon, who had in his council a freak of the jinn, he had a strong jinn, not a weak jinn, he had a strong jinn. So the seal of Solomon means have the power of Solomon, right? Now, without dealing with it, now, let me see. Where can we go? I say right here, this is coming, right? Heliopolis, that's, mashallah, that's weeks away. Any of you who have those transcripts from the Imam, I'm sorry, don't know the date of it per se, but the Imam breaks down what we're coming up to, that this knowledge that I said has been operating for thousands of years is the knowledge that its birth is in Heliopolis. And a part of it is knowing how to manipulate, swing a culture, swing a society, swing a people blind and ignorant to their own nature, but of whom you have the knowledge and insight into their nature. You can control them by manipulating their motivations, drives, sentiments, and aspirations, by manipulating their passions, by swinging them from one extreme to the other. It's the God-dog principle. That's what's going on. It's the God-dog principle, and that's what they're doing. And then I know you have to be asking, it's like, what was that Marilyn Monroe thing, right? So we're going to get to it, inshallah, I don't know when. But this right, real short, she's fresh, cooling the gang video. I don't know, somebody sent it to me. I don't even know who sent it to me, but mashallah, it's all timely. I don't know, maybe they saw this in there too, but it was no details in whoever sent it to me. I don't know who sent it or why they sent it to me, but I appreciate it because here it is. So this is the headline that comes there, right? And this is all, these are all stock screenshots from the video. But he says the king is having a ball, right? Once you know who the king is, and the king is not, see, you got that kind of Star of David symbolism kind of going on right there too, and which is a symbol of an atom, right? But then that's Adam. They're talking to each other, because if you take cut the music off, look at the video, say, what does all this have to do with any of the things that we're talking about, right? So bottom line, king is having a ball. Who's the king? Take it as Shaitan. I do not believe that our brothers knew anything about what was behind what was going on there. But in any case, so you have the king is having a ball, right? Ball, B-A-A-L. He's having a ball, right? Meaning he's having fun. He's entertaining himself. These people listen to the music. These people going through these motions, and they don't know that I'm manipulating them over their head. Look at all these little pyramids and the symbol. Look at what they're sitting inside of. I'm sorry, Blog Talk. I mean, it turns out to be one of those days. Blame Dante. Yeah. So you have them. They're sitting inside of pyramids. Those are these fat women, and they're actually eating. You see the video. You look at the burgers that they're eating. You see that the burgers are barbed wire. There's barbed wire in the buns that they're eating, and you know, I could find the curse on the food of the Gentile. The curse is in there. In the Bible, you can actually find it. But the bottom line, look at those pyramids. You got the pyramids, and the one who's laboring under the pyramid is the Belalian girl. Between those pyramids look like spikes, right? And you know that they're dangerous. But the point is that the pyramids are all there. And so and then you got the mirrors and the rest of that. Okay, you got the Marilyn Monroe figure, which has to do with the whole paradigm that they're manipulating, the sexual manipulation, the use of triggering individuals into a certain mindset and the like, all that's there. And then the Marilyn Monroe figure, who's supposed to be the fairy godmother, she bowls it looks like she's bowling, but she's throwing like a hand grenade and something blows up, and that's when the girl changes. But the point is whole lot of symbolism there. And what's the important thing? Well, many important things. But the point is why bowling? Why bowling? Because bowling is another pyramid symbol. So when you set up the pins for the bowling, you set it up like a pyramid. And then what do you knock it down? You knock it down with a black ball. Right, we got all kind of colored balls and different things like that, but no, the original ball is a black ball, and the black ball is knocking down the white 10 white balls, right? And the main one that you got to number, I think that's the 10 pin, I don't know, that you got to hit that one proper in order to have a strike, right? So then you have to start talking about baseball and all the rest of that. So they're playing games, so they're having a ball. They're having a ball, the Jacobites. They're having a ball while we're just dancing to the music, et cetera, et cetera, and you know, everybody's partying. But he's at a different party than the one that we're at. But let's move on. Okay, so we have that. All right, so the point is that in righteousness and the development that Allah invites us to, you grow up from the fitri base. So you can take that base. It's natural. Motivation, drive, sentiments, and aspirations, they're all natural. They're all good. They're all necessary. But it's about learning how to get them to cooperate in perception. And when you get them to cooperate, when your senses cooperate, they form this sixth sense. They form this perception. They form the ability to see. They create the ability to have oversight, the insight, farsight, hindsight. You can see all around from the top of that, right? But the most important thing for you to see is to see into your own self, to see into your own self. So the positive take from this symbol, the Star of David. One of the negative takes from it, for as far as the Seal of Solomon, binding and releasing Satan, which is also a biblical statement. Binding and releasing Satan. So the Seal of Solomon gives you the ability to bind and loose Satan. So even if you take, and the Quran talks about Suleiman Shayateen, and you'll have those people who, you know, translate or treat it like he's saying the jinn. No, it's saying shayateen. But then the jinn moves from jinn, iblis, to shaitan. All of us having us the potential to be shayateen. All of us have that potential. If we don't know how to master our motivations, drives, sentiments, and aspirations, if we don't know how to manage our urges and our impulses and our instincts, when you lose that management, see, and that's that bowling, black ball, take out the 10 pin, it'll be a strike, you can probably knock down the whole being. When you take them out, when you deprive them of the capacity to see into their own nature, when you deprive them of the capacity to see into their own, then you got them, because now they're blind, blind, deaf, and dumb. Right. So, and how do they measure the bowling game? In frames, right? So, moving past that. So in natural vision, in the best vision is a symbol of what you see here on the left with the pyramid and the eye on top. If you can make that journey, right? If you can make that journey in yourself and from yourself to become enlightened through your original nature, so that the first movement, if you take the movement from the upright star, is the movement of the person growing up to the fullness of their potential. I guess I there's another one that I need to go ahead and keep tiptoeing around it a little bit, but I think I have to bring it in. Let's see if I can get it in here. All right. So here's the pyramid here. This is what I'm saying, given that you successfully make this movement, right? So I'm pointing out to you that how do you make this journey from the bottom to the top, right? What does it mean to make the journey from the bottom to the top? And that is, this applies everywhere. Sorry, I'm not gonna try to teach the whole thing. But the Institute people, you can expect to get this at some point in time on the site. But here's the same pyramid, right? And this when I say the same pyramid, the same hierarchy, right? All the evolution of all of us. So even if we just talk about ourselves personally as individuals, the knowledge of self, right? The true knowledge of yourself, the true knowledge of your fikr, the true knowledge of the nature of your creation, it starts down here at the bottom, unconscious, incompetent. There are things that we don't know, and we don't know that we don't know about ourselves. I'm only talking about ourselves, right? So you could replace this with anything, golf, tennis, math, chess, engineering, being a lawyer, doctor, whatever, it doesn't matter. You have to make this movement from unconscious, incompetent, then you, as you grow, you come into conscious incompetence, meaning that you know what you're supposed to do, but you recognize that you recognize when you make mistakes. So you're not quite there. Oh man, I made a mistake. Why? Because you know what you're supposed to know, but you're not quite competent in doing that. So you're conscious incompetent. Oh yeah, my bad. Conscious incompetence, right? Then when you become a conscious competent, that means that you know, and you know what you're supposed to know, and you can do it, but you have to do it. You have to remain conscious. You cannot take your eyes off the ball. You cannot relax. You cannot do it at a level where you're not paying very explicit attention to the details, right? But, okay, so you're better than the unconscious incompetent. You're better than the conscious incompetent. You are now conscious competent, but since you have to think about everything that you have to do in order to get it right, that's too slow. You won't have that Bruce Lee power. You won't have that Bobby Fischer, Garry Kasparov kind of talent over the chessboard, and the Muhammad Ali boxing and the Michael Jordan kind of moves that you need to make on the fly, you know, literally on the fly. So no, you're not at the level of the unconscious competent. But when you get to the level of the unconscious competent, that's when you have the vision. That now you have the vision. Into what? Whatever the game is. Don't matter. What? What? These people that we're talking about, their game is the mastery of human beings. The people that we're talking about. They're getting money. There's nothing. Money is a product of human beings. I control the human being. I control the money. Power, it's just a matter of who has the power. As long as I control the one who has the power, then I have the power, and I can be the power behind the throne. All I need to understand is how to master the person. When I know how to master the person, then the person, in effect, becomes my slave, especially when they don't know I'm the one pulling the strings, and they are unconscious of my competence, and I am conscious of their competence, and I am conscious of their level of unconsciousness. Indeed, I contribute to their being unconscious in the manner I want them. I want them to be unconscious of the things I want them to be unconscious of, and I want to make them conscious of the things that I want them to be conscious of, and I set the frame for their mind. Let me go ahead and say that since I'm there. It's like inside of that hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, eat together because the blessing is in the company, right? What blessing is in the cup? Everything. I mean, there's blessings in the cup. I talked about deals that are cut over the dinner table, deals that are made in the social environment. So when we socialize with each other, that's a moment of interaction that has to do with the melding and the cementing of our social ties, our social relationships, strengthening of our bonds, strengthening that wall that really constitutes the protection of our culture. All that's being done at the dinner table. And you'll find that if you study the Jewish religion, a big issue that they had with Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was still doing what he was doing with tax collectors and publicans and other people, that the problem was sitting down eating with these people. You'll find that diet and eating is a big deal, and that's putting it lightly. Big deal, right? Just like that image that I showed you from the Cool and the Gang piece. They're eating a burger, right? And they're eating that burger. One of the big things, you can't have dairy and beef together. You can't have dairy and beef. They weren't showing a cheeseburger per se, but a person who is of that mind and understands that would be one of the things that would be brought up by that image. One of the things brought up, their food is not our food, right? And then inside their burger was barbed wire, right? So you think about barbecue, don't you? Y'all have to stop eating barbecue, but barbecue has that. That's a part of, but really more than that, there's a curse in the Bible. It says that they would be cursed to eat their dung and drink their urine. I won't use the harsh word for it. Eat their dung and drink their urine. And, mashallah, I know your innocence, the innocence of you, you never think the corpophiliacs, coprophiliacs. I'm going to let you, if you can spell it, you can look it up, and then you get the answer what that actually is. You got coprophiliacs, and then you have those people that there are other vulgar names for it, but they find pleasure in those things. Literally, while those are curses in the Bible, we have a world now where there you can find a class of people who find pleasure in just that, right? So that's the curse being fulfilled in the people. And so when you see that image is telling you that because those are symbols, right? Those are symbols. I'm trying not to hurt your feelings on the level of, but when you and I'm a person who love burgers, but burgers and beer. I'm not a beer at all, but the idea burgers and beer. That's that curse. That's the symbol of their curse. And the Imam already told us about hot dogs, and you deal with the rest of it. So the point is, so food is one of the ways by which they manipulate, dominate, and keep us unconscious and keep us inside. They entertain themselves with that. Let's move on. So where are we at here? So in terms of this movement, this unconscious confidence, the movement here, so let's take it from the natural perspective first. The natural perspective is that, yes, in nature, right, because Shaitan is not inventing anything. He's just taking advantage and manipulating the nature and the science that Allah has revealed in creation and in and to the human being. Okay, so when you grow up by managing that, and the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stick with the theme of the abstracts and how the abstracts are truth without details. Well, the Prophet says, none of you is a believer until his ahwa follows what I have brought. The ahwa is motivation, drive, sentiments, and aspirations. The ahwa is the instincts, urges, impulses. The Prophet said, until you bring your urges, instincts, and impulses under what I have brought, you are not really a believer. And that also tells you that the goal of the believer is self-control, self-management, self-direction, okay? La'alakum tattaqoon, right? So if you can see, let's take this out. Let's go. Let's do this. Okay, it's almost time to go, okay? So... all right. So let's take that one out. So the idea is that on a natural basis, it's the right way to go. When you learn how to manage and control your urges, your impulses, and put them under God, and the throne of God was first upon the water. The throne of God is first upon the waters. It's saying do that. See, abstract. The throne of God was first upon the waters. Concrete, particular. It means bring your sensitivities, bring your sentiments, bring your human nature under the authority of God. Follow the disciplines that Allah has for it. And the Prophet said, I'm the one. Follow me. Follow me. And when your urges, impulses, appetites, when it follows what I have, now you can rise up and come to the vision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to have, right? So that's the way it is supposed to be natural. But when the shaitan gets a hold to it, he takes it, reverses it, and uses it against you. But the flip side of that also is that this is what you and I also have to give you. I'm going to flip out a little now. So when Imam Muhammad tells us when we make wudu, we're actually saying the good of that very thing. He said you start wiping your head at the back. This is Adam. That's your original nature, your consciousness as a baby. And then it got educated. Alama alama asma'a kullaha. Now, this is the frontal cortex. You go from the primitive brain to the frontal cortex, the executive function of the brain, that the visionary planning part of your brain, right? And then when you come to that level of knowledge, so Allah created Adam and educated him and then re-educated him to recreate him. So this picture And this is the wife of the wudu. Here. So you made the whole trip, right? The goal is come into conscious awareness of your own nature. And then with that awareness, turn around, look into yourself, and through insight in yourself and insight of yourself, you will have the power that you see in a Suleiman, alayhi salatu wasalam. You will see a power, and that's probably why I said, because I said Suleiman, and I think about Solomon, the prophet, peace be upon him. So in any case, so the idea is that this is a symbol. So first you grow up to the conscious vision, and then you use that vision to go into yourself to learn more about yourself, to learn more about your nature. And when you learn that level, when you get that level of knowledge about yourself and about your own nature, that is what gives you that power that's talked about with regard to Daoud and Suleiman. May Allah be pleased with them, and may Allah's peace and blessing be upon both of them. That's when the power of the speech of birds and the power of the winds and the coursers that serve them, that basically their beck and call. It's a symbol of the realized potential from and within a believer in God who takes that knowledge, applies it to themselves, in which it opens up and accesses for them, gives them access to the powers in the very nature of creation. Because you can take that and read it also, where it says, go out and study the creation. You go out and you come back. No, go back and look again. Take a second look. And do you see any defects? Do you see any fractures? Do you see any seams in it? No, it's the Tawheed. It's unit. It's one unit. You're a part of that unit. And that power is in you, that is in the creation. And you will get that power from within yourself to the extent that you submit yourself to the one who created you and it. As did Suleiman alayhi salatu wasalam, and we see what was the result of what he was able to do. So, mashallah, that's it. So, Dante, thank you for your kickstart of this conversation this morning. So, alhamdulillah, no, we're not going to take any comments today. Nobody's asking. I'm not looking at the theater. I know sometimes when I go into subjects like this, it kind of stimulates more. But we don't have the kind of time that would be needed to address that today. So I hope you can accept that. That was today, and mashallah, we're going to call it a day. And I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, Allahu A'lam. But inshallah, perhaps you'll join us tomorrow for Quran Salat Institute. And basically, you can look at the. Oh, last week we didn't have a broadcast, so it has to be the week before. And normally I just take up some time for the Naima. Alhamdulillah, greetings to you, my extended family. It's one step at a time that I'm looking into my own self. This gives me thanks to Allah for blessing me to see my knowledge in my true nature. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you to succeed in that endeavor, because that is the challenge of life. God's peace be on you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.